Why are we giving the enemy so much when he has nothing? Don't let him play with you. Don't let him try and throw thoughts to you. And that, but come back to the word, hang tough. And that hang tough in those times when you've done everything to stand, put on the armor of God in Ephesians 6, and it says, when you've done everything to stand, stand firm. And that, just stand. Because the Bible says when you dress for armor, dress in your armor and you stand up on the battlefield, that's your part. God's part is to fight the battle. And he does a good job at it. Amen? Get God's perspective on your circumstance. So how? By looking at our circumstances through the eyes of faith. Faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith and not by sight. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, and that faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, and now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. God has given us the keys to unlock anything. God has given us the ability to walk on top of anything. God has given us the authority and the strength, and that to stand up against the biggest mountain, and with the smallest amount of faith, we can say to the mountain, move, and it will have to move. I shared a prophetic word with the leadership team back in October, and I think it was later, maybe in November, I shared it with the Sunday night prayer group, and this is what the prophetic word was. The Lord said, I have prepared a revival for you, an outpouring of my spirit that will be filled with my glory, my fire, and my love. Birth this outpouring with the key of faith-filled prayers. Hear that and tie it into your heart. We'll come back to it. When you see the first signs, continue to pray and continue to birth it. Do not simply remain in the corridor that has a measure of glory, but press through with passionate faith-filled prayers and enter the room called revival. I will show you things that you know not. I will reveal kingdom mysteries to you in this season. I will demonstrate my power, and there will be great harvest as the river of revival goes through the nations. Partner with me, for I desire to pour out my spirit in a new wave upon the earth in this hour. The key of hope, the key of desperation, the key of expectation are important keys that will position you in the corridor. But the key of faith-filled prayers, that is the one key that will open the door to the fullness of what I have for you at this time. God is wanting us to actually believe what we're praying again. When the enemy comes against us with a lie, we would believe enough to rise up in faith. Listen to me. How do you get more faith? Get in the word. Amen? And when you're in the word and you say, but pastor, I'm in the word every day. Then what is one of the fruit of the spirit? Faith. Whatever you lack, God will give you. And let me put it this way. Let me just rephrase that. You lack nothing in Christ. Let me just rephrase it that way, because maybe that we can embrace a little better. We lack nothing in Christ. Amen? And I need to stress that. A crisis is a tragedy or it's an opportunity, depending on how you look at it. So get God's perspective on your circumstance. How? By looking at your circumstance through the eyes of faith. Second, get God's perspective on your future. How? By looking at your future through the eyes of hope. You see where I'm going from 1 Corinthians 13:13? Faith, hope, and through the eyes of hope. And then also get God's perspective on your motivation. See, this is where we go really, sorry, Jeff. I don't know what I did to it, Jeff. Forgive me. We'll figure it out after. But this is where we go wrong in church a lot. We love to judge people's motives. Well, you did this. You had to have been doing it for this reason. Really, why do we do that? Because there's filters in our life that are wrong. Wounds, hurts, pain, unforgiveness, things we've seen and witnessed. So we attach all of that, unless it gets covered under the blood and we learn to forgive and we learn to love over a multitude of sin, we learn to do it God's way, then we become very unfair people with each other. Because when we look at someone and we say, oh, well, they led with their left foot before their right, it's got to be something wrong. I saw someone do that once, and when they did that, they punched someone in the face. Oh, that person, they're going to punch them in the face. I can't believe, why would they even think of doing that? Oh, come on now. You've heard people talk like that. We make judgments all the time on motives of someone's heart without even talking to them, without understanding their story, understanding where they've come from, what's gone on in their life, what's taken place, what has God done? So when you don't understand something in someone's life around you, ask them. And we're a Pentecostal church. We believe in Holy Spirit. And sometimes when Holy Spirit touches someone, they shake a little bit. Sometimes they get a little more excited. Sometimes they begin to shout. Sometimes they say some words that we're like, what the heck? What language was that? And instead of sitting there saying, ah, what was that? Oh, just go and ask them, hey, I noticed you kind of, you know, started to shake a little bit when I, you know, I was just curious, what was God doing? What was happening? What was he saying? Begin to ask. Get God's perspective on your motives. The Word of God says we don't even know our own motives. We're deceived in that so easy and so quickly. Without God's help, we can bend on all sorts of things and we can go down roads and we can fight to the tooth and nail. We're going to fight on this only to find out those motives in behind us maybe weren't so healthy. Without God's help, we can deceive ourselves. So get God's perspective on your motives. How? By looking at our motivation through the lens of love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love will never, ever, ever fail. How will anyone know that we are his and he is ours? But our love one for another. Can we say that? But our love one for another. The person sitting next to you, the person standing around you, the person in this room is not your enemy. We're in this together. And that God has called us all, God has pulled us here for such a time as this, and that we need to come with that lens of love. But let your brother of humble circumstances, in James chapter 1, verse 12, and circle that word humble, for Christians' trials and troubles are a great equalizer. How many know the rich can have a lot of problems, just like the poor can? How many know someone from Canada can have as much problems as someone in the States? Amen? Trials and troubles are a great equalizer. It brings a humbling inside of us because all of a sudden we got to ask for help. Freebie on the side, I wasn't going to share this, but let me just share it anyways, is simply this. God says that we need to learn to be a good giver. Amen? You can't outgive God. But we also need to learn and humble ourselves to be a good receiver. Why? Because in order for us to give, someone else has to receive. Right? So we're saying everyone else humble themselves so I can give. No. We need to also ask God, humble me so I can receive, so Tony can practice giving. Dave can practice giving. right? We need to learn that back and forth. But the problem is, when we start judging motives and we start moving into places, we automatically write off each other. We automatically move in different directions. The word for glory here means boast, to rejoice, to take pride in his high position. Now, this sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? He says, brother, now you got to make it through and persevere, endure. I'm going to give you wisdom, but as you seek for wisdom, those of you that were prone to discouragement because of thinking, I don't have two nickels to rub together, I don't have enough money to make it to the end of my life. God, when are you going to come through for me? I've got all these needs. You could replace that by circumstances and people saying things, to jobs, to anything you want. But he says, here's the perspective you need to have. I don't have very much. If you don't have very much, sorry, you need to glory and boast in your high position. If you're feeling like you're mistreated at work and you're kind of like you're supposed to be here, but they're treating you like you're here. If you're in church and you feel like I should be here and you're being treated like here. If you're in your family and you feel like you should be here and you're treated like here. God says glory in your high position. You're thinking, what high position? That's not a high position. Not your high position, the way the world looks at your position, but the high position you have with God spiritually. Those people that have very little materially or feel like they're mistreated and brought down into that place have a very high position spiritually. The position is trusting God. I don't know about you, but anything that puts me into a position that I have to trust him more, that should be embraced. Less of me, more of him. Matthew 5:13 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, if you're feeling like, man, I just feel like I'm mistreated and I'm down here when I feel I should be here, and that, remember, glory in your low position, because really it's a high position in God's kingdom, because you're in a position in your life right now that you really got to hang on tight to him. You really got to come in close to hear his voice. And is that not a good thing as a Christian? Why are we always pushing away every trial, pushing away everything that could cause us to come so close to our daddy? Instead, embrace that high position, the honor of being able to trust him more, the honor of being able to come to him more. You might say, but I keep crying out to him every day. Doesn't he grow tired and weary? No, he doesn't. And he doesn't even look at our faults. He doesn't look at anything. He just wants to lavish his wisdom and his love upon us. The last shall be, and the first shall be. We need God to renew our mind. We need our mind restored to the way the kingdom tells us, not the way the world has been trying to shape us. I've been in many countries all over the world in which I can take you into places where they're praying for rice just to survive. And it's really humbling going, what do I say? Half of the stuff we talk about, because we have a land of plenty and bountiful, we don't have to ask God half the time, hey, where am I going to get food? We just go to our fridge. But in other parts of the world, they're humbled so much into a high position because they're believing God whether they're going to live or die for today. So when you're complaining and you get discouraged about what you've done, what's happening around you, what's going on, he says, stop it. Glory in your high position. Trust in me. But when he gives you the warning of those of us that have sometimes a lot, he says, let the rich man glory, the same word, boast, be proud in his humiliation. The little word is his low position. We know the world around us, if you have lots of money, you have a high position. If you don't have a whole lot of money, you have a low position. In the world, that's true, right? Is it only, I'm in a different world? Is that not true? Oh, we say it's not. But all you have to do is look on someone's face when someone walks in. Roll of the eyes. Oh, come on, we're all bad for it. It's called the human condition. Or someone that's got a little bit of money. Oh, yeah, who do they think they are? Oh, oh. God's not wanting us to walk down that road. Self-dependency and greed in the material world, the thinking of this world, what you can buy, the house, the second house, the nice car, the car that just looks a little better than the nice car, the purse that was a designer label, the clothes that come from this place or that place, the logo that's got to be on it, this certain kind of jewelry, but not just any kind of jewelry because it has to have that little insignia from this certain place so people really know that we've got it together. Oh, Jesus, may we all be free from it. Listen, please hear me on this because there's so much wrong teaching sometimes. There is nothing wrong with money. Nothing. The Bible doesn't say there's anything wrong with it. The love of money is what's wrong. Amen? So if God's blessed you with lots, great. He just wants you to be a bigger blessing. Amen? And that, just don't let money control you. Take a lower position, humble yourself and say, wow, thank you, God. Why me that you would bless? But thank you, God, you chose to bless me so that I can be a blessing to others. See, if you're going to battle discouragement, you have to start looking at the circumstances the way that God wants us to look at it. Whether you have a little and are forced to trust him greatly, or whether you have a lot and you need to learn to trust them through the lens of faith, if you're going to battle discouragement, you have to start looking at these issues about the myths. These myths are, if you don't have everything right, if everything is going to turn out, then everything is not going to turn out great. Or this will never stop. This bad situation will stay bad forever and ever. That's a lie. With God, all things are possible. You've got to look at it through the lens of hope. The hope that we have is that it will all end. Seasons come and seasons go. Thank God Almighty. Amen? My season of my house not selling, one day in the near future, is going in Jesus' name, and it's going to sell. Right? Until then, I look through that circumstance through the lens of faith, hope, and love. I trust my daddy. He's a good daddy. He is a good, good father. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us about that time. There's a season for everything. And they come and they go. So let me finish with this. I got 2 minutes. I don't like that clock. I got 3 minutes. I had one of our daycare students come in and it was so funny. Came walking in the hallway here and down the aisle, and I had music on and I was painting over here, and he comes in and he's looking up to find where speakers are, and then he comes up to the front and he's got two bowling pins he's banging together with the music as it's going on, and then he comes up and he looks at the joy behind me. I'm trying not to move because I'm making too much noise. And then he turns and he sees me and he goes, why is the joy still up? I said, because God wants to constantly remind us that this year is going to be full of joy. Oh. And then he stops and he turns his head crook like this up to the music and he's listening. He goes, I like this music. And then he looks at the drums. He says, do you guys play those on Sunday? I said, we sure do. I said, we actually played this song. Really? Oh, I want to come to this church. God's doing some really cool things. He's stirring in hearts. If I can just pause to say, he has reminded us from the very beginning of time The harvest is plentiful. Here at Rockcliffe, we're just saying the workers are not going to be few. We're looking for new problems. So much money, we don't know what to do about it. Right? So many people volunteering that we're struggling to find places, that we now have to find new, bigger dreams. Amen? How many are okay with the problem of looking for bigger dreams? Amen? And then it's all there. He says we lack nothing. And that is we embrace and we move. So let me finish here. I said I was going to finish, and now I don't like either clock. And then you can slay the dragon of discouragement when? Number one, you reevaluate your circumstances. So this is the test. Is my faith in the things that are perishable or in the things that are permanent? Are they the things of this earth that will fade away quickly? Or are they the things of heaven which God has called me to be a part of? It's test number one of reevaluating your circumstances. Second is reevaluating your focus. So what's the test? Is my hope determined by the size of my problem or the certainty of God's promises now and forever? So God, renew as we refocus ourselves. Is my focus on the big part of the problem, how big the giant is, or how big God is? Right? I don't see anywhere that David didn't see that Goliath was big. Right? I just see that David, sure, he can say, yeah, Goliath is big, but right away he came in behind, but my God is bigger. Oh, this is a tough problem. Oh, but my God is bigger. Oh, I don't know what to do, but my God knows what to do. He wants us to have a refocusing. And the test is my hope determined by the size of my problems or the certainty of God's promises now and forever? And the third one, as I finish, is reevaluate your motivation. Test. Is the primary motivation of my heart to love Christ or simply get relief? There's a lot of times we're chasing after getting relief, getting help, getting whatever, get me out of the trouble. If I just get out of trouble, everything's okay. Yeah, it might be okay that time, but guess what? How many know we might get in trouble again? So God is just trying to help us reevaluate our motivation. That he says, if you get me, not Phil, but you get him, Jesus, God, you get everything. Seek first my kingdom, my righteousness. Seek me, he says. And if you seek him, everything will be added unto you. Reevaluate your motivation. When I ask those three questions, and I really get honest before God, then I can walk light and I can walk free. Let's pause and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you, God. There's no God like you. Lord, you know every circumstance that's going on right now in this room within each and everyone's life. You know everything that's going on in our church, in each family, each person. You know what's going on in our city. All the circumstances and the discouragement and the weight in the lives. I pray today you have just unmasked the areas to realize the enemy is really behind it all. So that we can see that our fight's not against flesh and blood. But that the enemy, he will run the moment we begin to pray. The moment we begin to acknowledge you. The moment we lift your name, at the name of Jesus, every demon, every knee, every person shall bow, every circumstance shall bow at the name of Jesus. So in Jesus' name, I speak the discouragement that might be in this room today, and I say, be no more. Renew through faith, hope, and love. Our hearts, our minds, our motivation, Lord, renew, Lord, our circumstances and the way we look them at it, our focus, Lord. Help us today, God, to bring restoration into our mind, our body, our soul, and our spirit that we can line up to what you say and by faith believe it. God, I just thank you right now, Lord, that in the middle of everything going on, you don't always promise to take us out of it. In fact, sometimes you say, we're going to walk through it. But consider pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds. because it'll develop your perseverance, patience, your endurance, so that you will lack nothing. I thank you. You are such a good daddy that you care more about us than you do about our comfort. You care more about us than you do about all the things that we want. You know exactly what we need. And so even if I ask or we ask, God, take me out of this now. I can't handle it. God, would you remind us that with you we're much stronger than we ever thought. So give us the strength to stick with the commitments that you've asked us to make. You promise you will always give us a way out if it gets too big for you and us. And today we simply are going to make you even bigger. And we're going to lift you higher because there is nothing impossible, nothing bigger than you. And so God, I just thank you right now for each and every one. I pray encouragement. I pray hope, love, and faith would just be infused into each and every one that maybe just feeling under the weight of it right now. That today, Holy Spirit, you would do what my words cannot do. And that you would break through. That they would begin to see the sun once again coming into their circumstance. God, I just thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. I bless each and every one. I pray you would overtake us, Lord. Whether we go to the store, whether we go to a restaurant, whether we go to our home or out to someone else's home. God, I pray that you would just pour your spirit everywhere as we go this week. Whether it's at work or at home or at play. God, you would just pour your spirit out into our lives and through our lives that we would be an echo and a beacon, Lord, into the community and the lives around us. That you have come to bind up the broken heart. Set the captive free, release the prisoner, Lord, and declare this is the year of your favor. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. We bless each and every one in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer, I just encourage you, we'd love to pray with you.